Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer. We're here live at the SiriusXM studios at the Wynn in Las Vegas. They call it the Wynn because winners win and losers lose. But the winners are here with me today on Office Hours. Our repeat hosts again, Marie Diamond, my favorite star of The Secret and many, many others. She's an author, New York Times bestseller, transformational leader. Thank you for empowering our community and showing up in such a wonderful way.
Of course. It's wonderful to be here.
Speaking of showing up in a wonderful way, I know I have a difficult time saying his name, but it's Dr. Stefano, and or Stefano. There we go. Dr. Stefano, I'll go with that, Sinacropi, and he is one of the world's leading spine surgeons, but also what makes him great, he's also an author, and we're going to hear about his book about healing at light speed, and we are blessed to have you here on Office Hours.
I'm so blessed to be around these wonderful people.
You are sandwiched between wonder.
Sandwich, absolutely.
It, my favorite sandwich is over there. Flex Lewis, seven-time consecutive, unbelievable Mr. Olympia. But he and his heart are bigger than his biceps, I promise you. He's one of the kindest people you will ever meet. And I'm not just saying that. It's everybody around him and behind his back only says great things about you. We are blessed to have you as our anchorman.
Thank you, David. I pay a lot of people.
You must have made a lot of money in that game. So our unbelievable guest today is Janaea Barnes. She's a transformational event facilitator. That means she makes transformation easy. Founder of Be the Wolf. Welcome to Office Hours, Janaea.
Hello. I'm so excited to chat with everyone here.
Well, that smile says it all to me. I'm going to start off with the obvious question, and we'll let the more intelligent people get to the deeper parts of it. But Be the Wolf really has me interested. And I was taught to be more interested than interesting. But what does Be the Wolf actually mean?
So Be the Wolf is the name of my company, but it's based off the Yellowstone National Park wolves. And if you don't know that story, in the early 1900s, they eradicated all the predators from the park to make it safe. They wanted to make it safe for everybody. But what ended up happening over time is the ecosystem collapsed. The elk overpopulated, ate the vegetation by the rivers spread out, the beavers left, et cetera, et cetera. But in the mid-90s, they introduced 41 wolves back into the environment. And in that, over time, everything began to recalibrate. And the wolves did nothing but operate from being a wolf, being the essence of a wolf. They didn't try to be a beaver. They didn't try to be a woodpecker. They didn't try to do any of that silly shit that we try to do. And they didn't operate from this fear like, oh my God, are they going to come hunting us again? They just stepped into being exactly who they are and doing what they do, which is something we as humans have such a difficult time with. We do all of these things to get away from our essence, whether it's like fear from our past traumas or experiences, or we see somebody who has something we want, so we think we have to be like them in order to get it. But that takes us out of harmony with ourselves, with nature, and with what I think we're here to create. I think each person has an individual, unique purpose and unique gifts, just like the wolf has their unique gifts. So a big piece of the work that I do, the side effect is that it brings you back to the essence of who you are, which I think benefits all of us because it helps us bring our entire ecosystem back into harmony.
You know, I've never heard that story, and it's so interesting because I could think about the biggest interference, this idea with our children today of I am, which is our essence, versus this is what I want people to think I am. And so people start looking at what's missing, what they don't have, what other people want from them, or especially what social media deems what we should have. And this energy gap, I believe, is like taking the wolves out of Yellowstone. That
absolutely.
It's causing our children and the ecosystem and the calibration of the natural essence of all these individuals who are completely different make a whole. And we've lost the appreciation of all these differences that exist. And I love that analogy, and never had heard that story. Yeah. That's an amazing. I'm getting all kinds of great information. My speeches are going to get better now. This is great.
She told me this. I heard this story last night, and I was pretty blown away. First of all, wolves are just absolutely beautiful, creatures. But it's really fascinating. That story, which I hadn't heard before, because I had the same response. I was like, I've never heard that story.
I love how much we don't know. And Marie, you help people know what they don't know.
Yeah, I knew the story. And so that's why I love when you talked about being the wolf. You know, as a transformation leader, speaking, worldwide in so many countries, and seeing how, there's so much trauma and anxiety around in the world. And I do believe the greatest transformation leaders and speakers are the ones that have found a way beyond that trauma that they have in their own life, if it's business or personal traumas. And so what would you suggest are like three key aspects that people could use right away, right now, to get beyond or through, I don't know how you approach it, through trauma and through anxiety?
One of the things I think about anxiety is that when we're stepping into anxiety, it's this opportunity for us to actually be stepping into more of who we truly are. But we've been conditioned and we've been trained that who we truly are was not okay. Mm. And we get stuck and hung up on this idea that these ideas, you hear it all the time. I am enough, like all the affirmations. I am enough. I am capable. I am worthy. I am deserving, and all of those things. So we have these beliefs running around in our minds that saying that we're not those things. And those of us who run in certain circles and have done enough work, we know that that's not true. But what I've discovered is that it goes deeper than that. Everybody's working on that. And when you're talking about trauma, when you're talking about whatever the foundation of what has built the way you show up, it's not these beliefs that we're focused on. It's something deeper, and it's the demonstration of what you came into this world with. And a lot of it happens before you're even 3 years old. So you don't have language. So you're this, imagine you're this little alien creature, and this is something everybody can do. Imagine you're this little alien creature. You don't know the language. You don't know the customs. You don't know anything. And then you're plopped in with this family, and your whole world is this family and the caregivers there. And so you don't understand about emotions. You don't know what anything means yet. It's still all just neutral information. So what is demonstrated? What is demonstrated? What are the actions that are demonstrated? Not the words, because you don't understand the language yet. And so if you can start to break down what that early stuff that was demonstrated was, you can start to see something different. Like, I know Dave's mom demonstrated giving a lot away. And we can see that later in his life, he gave a lot away. And so we tend to repeat what was demonstrated. And then we use these stories like I'm not enough and I'm not capable to stay in that framework of what was demonstrated. Mm. And so a lot of people, especially if you had a not so great childhood, hello, me right here. It's really hard to get past that initial what was demonstrated. And it's framed as trauma, and it is. But that, like, stepping into the unknown, that anxiety that gets there when you're stepping into who you really are, that anxiety is so much harder, and that original frame is so much thicker when you've had a lot of trauma. But a really great thing to do is start to just identify what was demonstrated under the age of 5, and you can start to see where those limits, I like to call it the invisible cage, where the limits of your invisible cage are, and just know that you're going to feel anxiety when you step outside of it. If the life you want is outside of what was demonstrated, you're going to have to move through some stuff, and it's going to be uncomfortable, and it's going to be some trial and error, but you have to know that it's possible.
Thank you. Beautiful answer.
Self-sabotage is something that, honestly, we've all been there. We've all sabotaged ourselves in something. But I've sat in these office rooms with 20,000 plus patients that have kind of come through the office and have spoken to people. And I just literally can sit in my office and half of the patients, I can just write down their story of self-sabotage and how it led to them being in this, you know, chronically ill state, or even worse, like acutely ill, because they, something really, really, you know, bad happened. How do you frame it to people from kind of a health? Because everything we talk about is really health, right? It's either physical or mental health. Everything that these amazing, you know, people up here, you know, have done, you have to be in a good mental framework to be able to overcome these things. So what strategies should people use when it comes to their own health and wellness to stop self-sabotaging themselves? How do we connect their self-sabotage, in other words, to the end result? Because people can't, a lot of times they don't connect what their behaviors are or what they're doing to themselves to the fact that they are ending up in our offices unwell. So what would you say to that?
Well, a lot of my clients historically have been massive self-sabotagers, because you hit that invisible cage and then you just self-sabotage. It's like you have this upper limit and this lower limit, and it's always going to be in that frame. But again, going back to what was demonstrated by your early caregivers when it comes to health, was their consistency. And this is the thing that nobody gets, right? We hear these phrases in transformational communities and, you know, physics and science. We know that everything is energy, right? There's a pattern that runs through. And it's so we can break down the different habits and the things that were demonstrated, but there typically is this pattern that runs all the way through. And so, like for me, one of my big patterns that was demonstrated was restrict and hold. And let's just talk about anything to do with health. I'm going to restrict and not be consistent. I'm going to only do a little bit. I'm only going to hold back, and then I'm going to hold. Or then you hold long enough and eventually it starts to slip away, like you strangle anything and it starts to fall away. And then what happens is the binge. And so for consistency and health, it has to be consistent. The flow has to be constant. And so a lot of this patterning and the self-sabotage comes from this initial like energy flow pattern that was demonstrated. And it's like it might be a restrict and binge. A flow and then stop. So whatever it is, if you can identify that original thing and then start to recognize where you do that in your health, where you do that in your business, where you do that in your relationships, because it's all one thing. How we do one thing is how we do everything. And everything is energy. So if you can find that, you'll have a better chance at catching yourself in the self-sabotage, like understanding this is the thing that I have to break through. And it's everywhere. It's even in the way you breathe. Like I have that restrict, hold my breath thing, like not like I used to, but I have to pay attention because that's how I'm going to self-sabotage. It's going to be some format of that.
Well, just make sure you keep your cell phone on during my office hours so we can FaceTime you in so you can give some patients some great advice. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Great.
You actually asked a different version of my question. In the 20 years that I competed, I didn't realize that I suffered from anxiety. I put it as pressure. I put it as nerves.
Yeah.
I battled through it. It was only later in my career that I kind of had that, you know, self perspective of what true anxiety was. And I really battled through it. So for somebody who grew up without love, not in a safe space, how do they retrain themselves to feel that love? Is there any tips that they can work through, again, battling through anxiety? Because again, a lot of people, including athletes that I know, have termed anxiety as pressure.
Yeah.
I was one of them. So learning what it is and tips of breaking through to become a better version of themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I didn't even know that I had anxiety until I started getting rid of it. I just know I didn't feel good. People sometimes ask how I got into what I do, and I was just always trying to feel good. It was like, you know, I did the dieting, I did the fasting, I did the working out. Like, I did all these things, and they would kind of work, and it was always just this yo-yo up and down. So the anxiety really is just a sign that you're stepping outside of your original invisible cage. And so when you can put it from that angle and you're doing the work to actually break down that original cage, but most people are just stabbing at things like, you know, if I'm focused on I'm not enough, that's just a strategy to stay inside the cage. If I'm focusing on trying to fix that, as soon as I fix that, and I know we've all experienced this, then there's some other problem. Like, oh, I feel so much better for a little while, and then 2 months later, I have some other problem. So I'm back in that anxiety loop, because that anxiety loop was demonstrated to me. Like, how many of our parents had anxiety but didn't know it? And so how many mothers were flooding you with anxiety emotions while you were in the womb? So that begins, like, that is your original cage. Like, that's, oh, this is physical reality. That's how it works. We feel this all of the time. And then there's that back and forth where it's like, oh, if I don't feel it, then you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. So then you do something to create it. And it's just this back and forth. And so, you know, I'm going to keep competing. I'm going to keep competing. So framed as pressure, because I have to stay inside that invisible cage as long as that's what was originally demonstrated and the energy flow that was originally demonstrated, I'm going to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter, like, if I get out of it and I feel calm, I go to the beach, and like 2 days later, I'm crawling up the walls. What do you mean you want to stay for 3 days? I'm like, oh, like, you just can't, because it's outside of the cage. And so I had a little bit of conflicting information there, in the sense that it's like anxiety is you coming out of the cage. But when your original cage is anxiety, there's two different kinds of anxiety. And it's really important to distinguish the difference. They will usually feel, it will be like one is in one part of the body and the other is in the other part of the body. So you've got to be able to determine which is which.
So there's a difference.
There is a difference. Like, for me, the anxiety that was my original cage, like, is very frenetic, very like zingy, versus anxiety of stepping outside of my cage is like deeper in my body in a different way. And when you start to, when you can distinguish between the second, or between the first and the second, then you start to be like, okay, I want to do this thing. How am I feeling about it? If I feel like the frenetic anxiety, I'm like, oh, that's going to get me more of the same. If I feel that deeper anxiety, oh, that's me stepping out of the cage. I don't know if it's going to give me something good, but it's going to give me something different. So let's lean into that. And then this is a really great tip, I think, when you talk about growing up without love. We always talk about self-love. And we've got to get back to that. And this is a tip I do with my clients. And it's so powerful, because we have more of our essence when we're really small, because we just do. And we haven't had as much of the boundaries, and the cage hasn't gotten as tight. And so I always have my clients, one of the first things I have them do, I have them look through all the old baby pictures, like 5 and younger. Find one where you're lit up. Put it as the wallpaper on your phone. You'll see mine on my phone. And spend time every day, like, eye gazing with the essence of who you are. And so people talk about doing mirror work, and like, it's very emotional, but there's this remembering that begins to happen when you start looking at a picture of the young you. And it starts to cultivate. You do this 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, longer if you want. If you're really feeling disconnected, you start to connect deeper to who you are, and you get this you start to reawaken self-love. And we know we can't truly love somebody else until we love ourselves. But we have to remember who the fuck we are. And so that picture of a little you, and maybe it's not like the bright-eyed one, but there's just a moment where you can be like, I feel who I am in this picture, and I can remember who I am. And you start to love gaze, I call it love gazing, with the little you. And that starts to open up the feeling of love that's actually self-created. So often we're looking outside to have something trigger that feeling, but you're looking at you, you're creating the love inside of you. And then from there it can grow and you can actually give it and have it overflow into everything else.
Quite evident.
I was going to say, I think what I'm hearing here is this metacognition
going
on, because you are deeply in touch with your own self and your feelings and your trapped emotions, and have been able to work on that stuff. So I think it just goes along with this beautiful theme of metacognition.
This is absolutely a facilitation of a higher self and awareness that we sometimes get to touch here in the thin air of office hours. Janaea Barnes, a coach, a speaker, transformational facilitator, and the founder of Be the Wolf. Thank you so much for joining us here with the thin air on office hours.